Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I don't mean to interrupt. We started over 2 hours ago. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Texters are pointing out that I said that Will Levis was generational. I didn't say he was generational. I liked Will Levis, I openly admit. I didn't call him generational, nor that I want the Texans to pick him. People forget that.
Yeah, you wanted Will Anderson, right?
I wanted Will Anderson, yeah. Too. And I never believed they would also trade up. Like, I never really put that together. Which I'm happy the way that it turned out in hindsight. Although, would you rather have Will Anderson or would you rather have Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam LaPorta, and a future first-round pick?
You mean LaPorta hasn't done anything in a year
and a half?
It's
not his fault. It's the offense coordinator's fault.
Would you rather have Will Anderson and Jaden Daniels?
How would you have Jaden Daniels?
Draft him the next year when you have a top two pick.
Why would you have a top two pick?
What are you going to do with Davis Mills? Go to the playoffs like they did?
Yeah, but that's very different. Top two pick versus make the playoffs. Like, there's a middle there. Like, what do you? Like, just because they missed the playoffs,
I'm assuming
they're going to be the second pick.
Just throw us another curveball.
No, I'm assuming that if CJ Stroud was not their playoff, they'd be one of the worst three teams at best. One of the worst three teams in the NFL.
I mean, you're probably right, but it's
because like they don't. Nico doesn't take the step he takes with Davis Mills.
But you lose a couple of tiebreakers, and you maybe fall from 2 to 4, and then you miss out. So,
did that cost them 5 wins, minimum? Maybe even more. I don't know. Does the drop off from Stroud to Davis Mills, is that 5 win difference? Maybe more. Maybe 6-7. Is it a 6-7 win difference?
If D'Amico's your head coach, maybe not.
I mean, he also missed games that year. Stroud did. He missed two.
He missed two games. Plus he was concussed in another one.
And they lost that when that game was over.
Yeah.
Might have been concussed going into that game.
That was one of the worst games we've ever seen.
Yeah.
The Jets game was awful.
I don't know. That Falcons game and the Bryce Young game, I also want to say
hello. Those games were also very bad.
There was a few games like that in that year.
Texture says you did call him generational. All right, show me the receipts.
Yeah, I don't remember. Show me the receipts. I think I was on the show then. I don't remember you ever calling him generational.
I had a crush on him. I had a draft crush on him.
You definitely had a crush on him. I never remember using the word generational.
No. It did change the way that I look at college quarterbacks because I fell in love with like the tools and like, oh, he's such an athlete. He's got a huge arm. And because I fell in love with that, I ignored the mistakes. I ignored the bad. And I was reading something with Sean Payton the other day. It's like an excerpt from a book and evaluating quarterbacks. And Sean Payton has like a scale. Like Sean Payton has like an algorithm of how he like qualifies and defines these college quarterbacks and why he liked Bo Nix is that he doesn't look at their strengths. He doesn't look at their strengths at all. He looks at their weaknesses.
That's what
like,
he should.
He looks at like completion percentage, which shows you incompletion percentage. He looks at turnovers. He looks at like sacks taken. Mm-hmm. He mostly ignore, and he's like, yeah, you need a baseline of, you know, certain attributes. But the thing that I'm looking at are what a quarterback does poorly. Mm-hmm. And if he can eliminate the poor, but mostly compared relative to the other college quarterbacks, college prospects, that's what he's most attracted by. And it's kind of opened my eyes.
I mean, look what the quarterbacks who are struggling that have come out of the drafts recently, like it's, you know, like with Caleb Williams, like playing, you know, in rhythm and things like that. He struggled with in college and it's gotten boosted in the NFL. Some of the things that Bryce Young struggled with in college has been boosted in the NFL. Yeah, it's the NFL exposes those things.
It definitely does. And it's
even CJ Stroud, if you go back and watch Ohio State, like when they played like Michigan and teams that had a good pass rush outside of the Georgia game, he struggled with pass rush at Ohio State. When teams could get to Ohio State, which wasn't often, mm-hmm. So it always felt like a small sample size, Like when they played Michigan, he struggled with it.
See, that's why Peyton like looks at sacks because you would because Sean Payton also calls sacks a quarterback stat. Pregnant pause.
Most of the time, it is.
He's pretty smart. Yeah. Sean Payton.
I think you look at the Texans are an exception to that. I think when the offensive line is this bad, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati
it graded out as the middle of the pack offensive line this past week. Joe,
I can't. I just can't.
713-780-3776. But anyways, we digress. Which 0-2 teams? Let's start there. We'll start with the 0-2 teams. There's 10 0-2 teams in the NFL. I actually ranked them today because I'm a loser. But which 0-2 teams make the playoffs? You want me to hit you with the 10? I should say the 10. Well, I don't know if I want to do that, actually.
I think reading off 10 would be a lot.
That's too many. That's not.
And there's a lot that we know we can cross off.
Which 0-2 teams are making the playoffs, Joe?
The Chiefs.
Okay. I also have the Chiefs, and that is the end of my list.
Ooh.
Oh.
I think one
season 0-2, over?
I think one 0-2 team. And look, what's the math on this? 15%?
It's 15%, yeah.
So if you have, I mean, two would be 20%. Two would be surpassed. And look, I think Brian brought up a good point yesterday. Or was it you, Joe? I don't remember. It's probably Brian.
it was me, but yes. Go ahead.
But it's a little bit different now with seven teams as opposed to six teams. Mm-hmm. Like the math would be better if it was seven versus six. I get that. But I think that there's one 0-2 team that's going to make the playoffs. I think it's Kansas City as well. And I think that's end of list.
I think the Texans still can. It's because of their division. And I can't with the Daniel Jones stuff yet. I'm not there. I know he has the weapons. I know he's got a good offensive coordinator, but I cannot.
I don't know why you're looking at Indiana at the Colts. The Texans are underdogs against Jacksonville this week.
But I think they were before the season even started. I don't think this line has moved that much.
That's not a problem to you. Like how can they have the divisional dominance if they're underdogs headed to Duval?
Yeah. No, I mean it's Duval. Fair.
They're behind the Jags in the standings.
I know.
They are the underdog in this game. If Vegas is right, then the Texans are 0-3, two games behind Jacksonville, who has a game up on them head-to-head, and then who knows what the Colts do. I mean, the Colts could be 3-0 at the end of the week.
If they lose this game, I'm going to call the season.
For sure.
Like, the only team, and actually, the answer to this actually happens to be the Texans, but the only team, I can't remember what the time period was.
It's 18, I think.
Well, yes, but I'm talking about, like, how long the time period they looked at. But the Texans are the only team in recent years that have started 0-3, and this was, like you said, 2018, and then went on to make the playoffs. Because I think they won 9 in a row after that.
Yeah, I'm ready to call the season if they lose Sunday.
Yeah, same.
I mean, I know that it's possible and feasible and, like, you whatever. We talked about the schedule yesterday. Mm-hmm. You fall to 0-3 with the schedule that is ahead?
Yeah, with Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, 49ers. Like,
you're already
go too windy.
You're two games behind the division at minimum. At minimum, if you lose Sunday, because you're behind Jacksonville and you're behind the Colts, who, if they lost, are 2-1. If they win, you're three games back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that it's not a must win in week three, but it's darn close to a must win in week three, quite frankly. So, did you have any others? 0-2?
I think the Texans are still going to make the playoffs.
So, you have KC and Houston. That's your two? Yeah, you have more?
No.
What about you, Brian? Any 0-2 teams?
I would say those are the only two worth even having conversation about. If you look at the rest of them, I don't think any of the rest of them are anywhere close, like Jets, Dolphins, Giants. There's no way any of those teams are making the playoffs. I would say definitely the Chiefs, and I'm kind of 50-50 on the Texans, but I'll say no for the Texans.
I think it'd have to come from the AFC because typically like that last spot so far with the expanded playoffs, there's been a weaker team in that last spot. Like it's been a below 10-win team with the Browns, the Chargers. Like that feels gettable, that seventh spot.
I mean, the Chargers won 11 games, though, last year. I don't know if they were they the seven? I forget what seed they were, but they won 11 games last year. I don't see how, if the Texans lose on Sunday, they can't, they're not getting to 11 wins.
No, yeah.
They wouldn't have been the seven, right? Because they played at Houston.
Oh, yeah, they would have been four. They were the five matchup.
So I guess it was 10 games last year. You had to get 10 games in the AFC to make the playoffs. That was the Broncos.
I have just KC. This is how I power ranked them. Kansas City, and they only have one team making it, so the power ranking kind of irrelevant. But I had KC, Houston, Chicago, Giants, Titans, Browns, Dolphins, Jets, Saints, Panthers. That's my power ranking.
You think
the Saints
above
teams.
The Panthers?
Yeah.
Not that it really matters, but.
I do. I think the Saints are a little bit better.
Spencer Rattler.
Like their offense has surprised me in a positive way.
Yeah, Rattler has made. Well, I think we'll. I think could create some interesting conversations for them.
Cash or trash. Spencer Rattler's better than Bryce Young.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, Kamara's better than Hubbard. They have McMillan, and I do like McMillan. I think he's very, very good. But outside of that, the Saints' offense is better. And I think the Saints' defense is better than Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints, we're arguing about 31, 32 teams in the NFL. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Eddie, you're in the junkyard. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I think, you know, the Chiefs obviously make the playoffs. I think the Texans are going to do it, too. If we go in the bye week with a 2-3 record, that's, you know, we have to beat Jacksonville, and then Tennessee. We lose to the Ravens. And then, is Daniel Jones really suddenly this miraculous, amazing quarterback? I mean, I think he crashes back down to earth a little bit. It's like the Saints last year, guys. We thought they were amazing when they were crushing their opponents in the first 2 weeks. But, I mean, I just see the Colts crashing back down to earth a little bit with maybe one or two bad losses, and we take it over.
Appreciate it, Eddie. I don't know. Appreciate the call. Look, it's in play. Look, I don't think Daniel Jones is going to sustain this level the entire year, but I believe in them more than I think the city believes in them.
Yeah, I think people are hesitant. But I do think the Saints comparison is interesting because it was so good for the Saints last year and it crashed so hard. I mean, we were talking about Kubiak, like head coach candidate watch after two games last year. Texans right now are plus 145 to make the playoffs, minus 175 to not make the playoffs.
So they're an underdog to make the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. Now, their odds are pretty different. I mean, like the Chiefs are minus 185 to, yes, make the playoffs.
So they're probably the only 0-2 team that is a favorite to make the playoffs.
Yes, and the rest of them that are 0-2 are much different odds. Like the Titans, the Bears are all like plus 800.
Yeah, they have no chance. At this point. How about the 2-0 teams? Which 2-0 teams are going to miss the playoffs? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975, ESPN 925.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. Which 2-0 teams missed the playoffs, Joe? Because there's also 10 2-0 teams.
The Bengals are the easy option here, obviously, with no Joe Burrow. That feels pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, but you're giving Browning game balls.
So? He deserved it. He won the game.
Chase.
Didn't say he was going to win another one.
It wasn't
future game balls. It was current game balls. Okay, I understand the segment.
Branhamlytics power ranked the 10 2-0 teams. They Branhamlytics told me that the Bengals were dead last out of the 2-0 teams.
Maybe this is my hate for one of your favorite players of all time.
That's inaccurate. What you're saying is inaccurate. Just because I think he's the greatest athlete on planet Earth does not mean I like him.
I would have Kyler Murray in his Michael Vick jersey at the bottom.
Yep.
How could they be below Burrow? I mean, because, Browning.
I don't think the Cardinals have shown us anything yet. To me, I'm still working off my preseason expectations because the two teams they beat were the Saints and the Panthers, a.k.a. the 32nd and 31st team in the league, in some order. Like, they've proven absolutely nothing. And Marvin Harrison still hasn't really gotten it going. We know Kyler's going to be completely missing in action at times. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
The Bengals beat Jacksonville by the hair on their chinny-chin-chin. And beat Cleveland by the hair on their chin. Their other hair on their chinny-chin-chin.
I give Cincinnati more credit for the Jacksonville win than the Cardinals beating the Panthers and the Saints.
They were blowing out the Panthers, though, and then they almost gifted it away. I had the Cardinals as my survivor pick, and Carolina got back. I was sweating bullets.
Never pick Kyler and
Survivor. Look, I have Arizona 9. Like, I don't have them. Like, it's not a great divide. I just – I'm nitpicking here, and there's just no way that I would have Cincinnati over Arizona, especially, like, okay, the division, the conference. I think the AFC is a little bit stronger than the NFC. I think Arizona's going to make the playoffs. Like I think 9 of the 10 teams that are 2-0 will make the playoffs.
See, Arizona would be next on my list after Cincinnati, and then I would probably go I would go Colts next because of everything we just talked about with the Texans being 2-0. I think I would do my own version of that for him.
You probably shouldn't. You probably shouldn't.
Do you want to sing the song?
You're opening up a can of
I would encourage
you
to do that.
A go Texans.
I would encourage you to do that.
Maybe you'll get them on track.
Like,
you should do it, Joe.
I know. I mean, when they're going, when they play the Colts.
Oh, you're gonna mock them.
Yeah, but if
is he all there? Because if he's not, now you're.
I guess I'm not mocking him.
You might get canceled.
I'm paying encouragement.
I don't think this is like that Jazz fan that definitely isn't all there. I think we're fine to mock him.
You okay?
Yeah, I think we're fine.
I'll let Joe do it.
I'll just do my own version.
Plus, y'all look more alike than I look like that guy. It's true.
Mexico. Because of that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I am a little darker in complexion, but.
He's calling me fat.
No, I'm not. I'm saying you look closer to him than I do. It's a fact. I'm sorry if it's offensive, but it's a fact.
I don't really see that there's.
I don't think there's any.
Hold on a second.
I don't
Seth
see it.
DeFlo, super Colts fan, you think looks more like me
or more like Joe?
No,
but it's a straw man argument.
It's not equal at all.
Because we look nothing like him at all.
Yeah, I think neither
you look more like
him
than me.
Because I'm white?
Yes, he's white.
I mean,
that's the only thing he got.
He has very low, what do you call it, pigment?
Melatonin?
I thought you take that at night.
Sleep. Yeah, melatonin sleep. Correct.
I think it's melanin or something like that.
Maybe.
You look way more like Twitter poll, ESPN station account.
There's, I guess.
Look, I'm sorry that it's offensive. I'm sorry that I am insulting you, but there is no chance that I look closer to him than you do.
I don't think Joe's that much paler than you.
You're nuts.
No,
you're nuts.
There's a big difference.
What are you talking about? Look at that.
I mean, I'm closer to the color of my shirt.
What do you mean?
His tan.
What do you mean?
Tan.
Are you gaslighting me right now?
No, I'm not.
I am way darker than Joe and Seth DeFlo Colt fan. No, don't add me. What's 713-780-3776? I'm going to read this mean text about you, Brian. Hey, doofus, you can't use preseason expectations against the Cardinals when you thought the Texans were going to be a playoff contender. Doofus. I call him a doofus too new. Now look at that. Saying that we're equal tanness.
I can't
get out of here.
I can't agree with that.
No, absolutely not. Only one team in the NFC West makes the playoffs. Only the 49ers make it. Okay, so the Rams don't make it?
Oh, interesting. I don't agree with that.
See, I have 9 of the 10 2-0 teams making the playoffs. And this is, I'll just go in order of my power ranking. Philadelphia makes the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, they're going to be 3-0 after tonight. Chargers look great. Green Bay, they're going to make it.
Yep.
Rams will make it. 49ers, I had the Rams ahead of the 49ers, notice that. They will make it. Indy's making it. Tampa Bay's making it. Arizona's making it. The only 2-0 team not making the playoffs, book it, the Bengals.
Where I agree with you on the Cardinals is that when I look at the teams who are not 2-0 in the NFC, the only one that I think that for sure is going to make the playoffs is the Lions. I want to put the Commanders on that list as well, but I want to see this Jaden Daniels injury and how long
it
plays
out. I know this is 3 weeks.
I know there's a chance he might play on Sunday, but last year when he got hit in the ribs, he just didn't look right. It took him a while to get right. You could tell like he was playing through it.
I wouldn't play
him.
But
it didn't look pretty. Yeah, they shouldn't play him this weekend. They can if they go 1-2, their season's not over because their quarterback hasn't been healthy. So that's where I struggle with Washington. Like, I don't think Atlanta's going to make the playoffs. So that's where you could be right on Arizona. But if Washington and the Lions are both going to make the playoffs, then it's currently the Falcons and the Cardinals are the teams that are out. That's why I think the Cardinals would be in jeopardy.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So you go Bengals, Cardinals, all the other 8 make it.
I can't. I guess with the Colts, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to, but.
Yeah, you're trying to mock their super fan.
Yeah.
That performs at halftime.
It's more just Daniel Jones.
The gospel choir.
He did.
Indiana Jones looks great, man. Like, y'all can hate all y'all want.
No, he does. I just don't. I'm not a believer.
But I don't think he has to be great. Like, he's playing at a great level through 2 weeks, small sample. I get it. He doesn't have to be great. He has to be above average, and I think he's capable of doing that.
And he
was above average with the Giants a year.
And they
one
won,
year.
They won a playoff game. They beat the Vikings.
And his talent around him is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really is. And a good offensive line. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Donnie, you're in the junkyard. What's up?
I was just calling. He's made a comment about the greatest athlete of all time. I think it's Jim Thorpe, personally.
Well, I didn't. Not all time. Currently. Not all time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said all time.
Yeah, Brian screwed up and said that because he was gaslighting me.
Oh, my bad.
It's okay. Okay, it's not your fault, Donnie. It's Brian's fault.
Go Pat, go.
You say go Pat, go? Go Pack, go, Pack. I think he said. Pack. Green Bay, Pack. Which, by the way, I was using the restroom, and I was looking at Twitter, and Tyler Kraft's going to be okay.
Tucker
according
Kraft.
To Adam. That's what I meant. What'd I say?
Tyler.
Who's Tyler Kraft?
I don't know.
I'm still caught up that we got a Jim Thorpe reference today.
It's on you. It's your fault.
Is it?
Yes. You put words in my mouth saying that I think he's the greatest athlete of all time when I did not say that. I say he's the currently the greatest athlete.
Why? He's not. Why?
Yes, he is. How many players that are currently active have been drafted in the first round in two different professional sports?
I understand that, but now you have two players in two different sports who play on both sides of the ball. Like Shohei is a pitcher.
Yeah, but he doesn't play two sports.
Yeah, but still, it basically is.
No, it's not.
It basically is.
No, it is not the same thing at all.
No one else does it.
No one does it anymore.
It's been a long time since someone has done it.
There's fewer people in the history of sports that have been drafted in the first round in two different sports than there are two-way players in the same sport.
Yeah, but he's not good at his sport. That's the problem with Kyler.
He's average.
He's average.
He's the 16th greatest quarterback on planet Earth, and you're dismissing him?
But Shohei Ohtani is the GOAT, basically, on both sides of the ball.
That's not true.
He's not, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
He's whenever he is pitching, he's one of the better pitchers in baseball.
He had five no-hit innings last night and hit a home run in the game.
That's what
I'm saying.
He's a unicorn, sure, but you can't compare a guy who's great in one sport, both sides of the ball, as another guy who was drafted in the first round in two different sports. Like, why are we demeaning that?
I would just Shohei over Kyler.
Okay, let's see who wins a race.
Well, it's not about running fast.
Isn't that part of being an athlete?
Well, then I'll take.
How would you define an athlete?
Well, then I'll take Travis Hunter.
Okay, well, let's see him throw a ball too.
That's not fair.
Absolutely,
you're moving the goalpost.
No, I'm not. There are things you talked about throwing. You introduced throwing into the equation when you threw in Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher.
Travis Hunter can dunk. Kyler Murray can't dunk.
Yeah, but he's got a power layup.
I don't think he can dunk. He might be able to.
His power layup's amazing.
I'm height shaming a little bit.
Power dribble. He did go to A&M for a little bit. Like, what skills would you need in this, like, athletic, like, feat of athleticism?
Probably,
like, I think you would need a certain sprint. You would need a jump. I'm cool with a jump, but jump shouldn't be how tall you're jumping. It should be vertical leap, obviously. And throwing has to be part of the equation in some way as well. Kyler Murray is the current best athlete that exists. He's the only current athlete who was drafted in the first round in two different professional sports. You just have a Kyler Murray bias. I can hear it.
I get your argument. I hate it.
But it's a great one.
Because it is factual.
It's a factual argument.
But he's not good at football.
You said that's relative. What do you mean he's not great at football? He's one of the top 16 quarterbacks that are currently on planet Earth.
He is. But I'll take Ohtani over best athlete on the earth.
Yeah. All right. Let's see him race. Let's see him jump. Let's see how they do there.
I mean, Shohei Ohtani did have 50 stolen bases.
Sure. How many would Kyler have?
Probably 50.
He'd be like, who's the dude with Tampa Bay? The Chandler Simpson guy?
Oh, yeah. That kid's moving.
Yeah. Give me Kyler as a feat of athleticism. All right, 713-780-3776. Enough Kyler talk. What do you got cooking up here, Brian?
Well, not Wednesday anymore, but my weekly power ranking, which Rich Eisen so rudely stolen.
I've got
my power ranking on the other side. You want me to give you the topic now?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking for? You're just asking for the...
I was wondering how you were going to tease it.
I came up with it probably minutes after the Texans lost on Monday night. It's the worst regular season losses in Texans history.
Oh, okay. That'll be good. Worst regular season
down
losses
misery lane
in Texans history. 713-780-3776. I wonder if Kubiak passing out on the sidelines up there. We'll see. We'll see. We'll find out next. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
One of the worst Texans lost in regular season history. Brian's going to give you his weekly top four or five?
Five, yeah. Weekly power ranking that Rich Eisen rudely stole.
I like
stole.
The emphasis you're putting. Power
ranking. Power, I think that's the only way you can say that.
Ohtani versus Kyler in bench press. I think Kyler's got him.
Kyler's sneaky, yeah. Kyler's sneaky
built,
strong.
Man. He's like a bulldog.
This is the one that would be the easiest to solve.
I'm not sure. I don't know what Ohtani does. Like, I don't know his like workout regimen. He didn't have like a massive chest.
Steals money from people in
Kyler
Hawaii.
Does. I think Kyler would get him in bench press. Plus, he's got like shorter arms, which is helpful.
Does.
Shohei Ohtani's a little longer. Like, Kyler probably squats more, no doubt.
Yep.
Like, I think Kyler is pound for pound stronger than Ohtani.
It wouldn't actually shock me if Ohtani is one of those pitchers that doesn't lift.
Yeah, right. Like, he does more like lean muscle, like conditioning stuff.
Especially because that's what a lot of the Japanese players do. They don't lift.
Yeah. Like, I think Kyler would win a feat of strength. I really do.
We could do it at bat.
Was this Seinfeld, a feat of strength?
Pessimistic Chad, if Kyler's so good at baseball, let him take an at bat against Shohei Ohtani. Okay, fair point. I think Kyler would fare better in at bat against Shohei Ohtani than Shohei Ohtani would trying to tackle Kyler Murray in the open field.
That's
facts.
So, like, we can't play one side of it. It's like the whole UFC, like, boxer thing. Like, well, it depends on what sport they're playing. It depends on where the setting is. Like, Shohei Ohtani would embarrass himself on a football field trying to tackle Kyler.
For sure.
Kyler would embarrass himself in an at-bat with Shohei, but he would fare better. He might get a foul tip or something like that. Now, he could lay down a bunt.
And really, Kyler is a three-sport athlete.
What?
Yeah. He is a great Call of Duty player.
That's not a sport.
Crickets.
It's a great Call of Duty.
Kyler bit is so lame and cringe. It's not a bit. It's a fact. It's a fact. All right. What are your top five here, Brian?
You mean my power ranking?
No, I don't want to say that.
You don't want to say it like that? No. That's disappointing. All right. So these are the worst regular season losses for the Texans, because if I just did any Texans loss, it's going to be all playoffs. So I decided to focus on regular season, since that's what happened on Monday with that come from ahead loss the Texans had against the Buccaneers. Some of these have importance. Some of them didn't. Some of them are just really painful, but they're the ones the most painful for me. All right. Number five. 2010, I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a tie game. The Jaguars at the 50-yard line with 3 seconds left. David Garrard throws a Hail Mary. And for some reason, Glover Quinn bats it forward to a Jaguars receiver, Mike Thomas, who catches it, falls into the end zone, and the Jaguars get the walk-off touchdown. That was the year that they started 4-2, but DeMeco tore his ACL, and they finished up 6-10. Went 2-8 down the stretch, and that Jaguars loss, again, on a 50-yard Hail Mary that Glover Quinn patted right into a Jaguars receiver's chest was like kind of the moment where you're like, okay, they're not going to rebound. This is going to completely fall apart.
Yeah, that was not a good one.
Next one on the list, my power ranking. Also 2008, the Rosencopter game. You all remember this one. They're up 17 points under 5 minutes to go against the Colts. And Sage decided he should try to dive forward. I think it was for a first down, if my memory serves correct. But either way, he got spun around like a helicopter by when the Colts defender hit him, fumbled the ball, and the Colts completed the comeback and won the game.
That was a brutal one. Was he anywhere close to getting the first down? I don't remember.
That part's fuzzy. I'd have to go watch the highlight.
I feel like he wasn't. I think that's what led to, like, what are you doing? You had no chance for the first down.
Yeah, that would seem like that would be probably the correct answer to that about it. I'm a little fuzzy.
He's about 4 yards short.
Right? That's what I thought.
Like, he's like airborne. So it looks like the first down's at the 31-yard line. He leaves his feet at the 35.
Yeah.
And, like, his shoulder, the closest it gets is about the 33.
See, I remember it being egregious because it was like, okay, if you're, like, really had a chance for the first down, it makes some sense. But I remember it being nowhere close. Like, what were you thinking, man?
That was maybe the most bizarre moment I've ever seen. It's up there.
Great nickname, though.
Yeah. No, it's a game that'll live in infamy. As will another game that has a nickname, the Letterman Jacket game. Oh, we all remember that one. Texans were 11-1 going in. This was the 2012 season. They're 11-1 going in with their early loss was a 6-touchdown game from Aaron Rodgers. That one also sucked. But the Letterman Jacket game, they were 11-1. Looked like they had a chance to get a bye, but they lose 42-14 on the road against the Patriots. Completely embarrassed.
That might be one of the worst, like, at least from an embarrassing game.
It was.
Like, that Letterman Jacket game will forever be remembered.
Yeah, I definitely an embarrassing for sure. The next one, also from the 2012 season, this was actually a few weeks later. So they were 12-2 coming into a home game against the Vikings. Again, they have a chance at a bye back when there were two byes. And, again, at home, 12-2, they lose to the Christian Ponder-led Vikings. It got trounced by the Christian Ponder-led Vikings and lost any chance they had at a bye.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I try to move it out of my memory, but sadly it's still there.
Wow.
Yeah. Lose a Christian Ponder at home when you're 12-2. Anyway, number one.
What's the best thing for Christian Ponder?
His wife.
If you say so. She got mad at me once.
For what?
Something on Twitter. Oh. She was searching her name.
Shocker.
sassy on Twitter. I can't imagine.
I think they named their baby Bowden.
As in Bobby Bowden?
Yes. They named it after his college coach. Yes.
Okay.
So it's Bowden Ponder, and I think I made like a joke on it. Like, geez, like whatever. And she was searching her name.
Okay.
She was searching her name and like dunked on me and like, you know, and viral and whatever. That was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, that had to have been.
15 years ago. When was that game?
2012.
So this was probably maybe 2015 at the latest. So at least 10 years ago. It's a long time ago.
All right. Number one on the power ranking from the 2011 season. Another situation where the Texans coming in had a chance at a bye. They were 10-4 going in on a Thursday night going to the Colts. The Colts team without Peyton Manning, who only had one win on the season. Texans score first. And then don't do anything the rest of the game. They lose to a Dan Orlovsky-led Colts team. A one-win Dan Orlovsky-led Colts team and lose any chance they had at a bye.
What week was that?
That was, I don't remember what week. They were 10-4, so it would be in like week 15,
okay.
I guess.
Okay, because I remember that game being the last week of the year. So it was the second to last.
Yeah,
week.
It must have been the second last game of the year.
Yeah, I remember that game. It was an Indy?
It was an Indy. It was an Indy, but again, it was a one-win team. Quarterback by Dan Orlovsky.
I had no problem with your list. I might rearrange them a bit. I don't know if I would have that Viking game number two. Like, that one doesn't resonate with me, really.
I think it was, for me, it's just like they should have had a bye. And you lose to Christian Ponder?
No, like, the value of that game should be at number two. But for me, it's more like my recollection of the game.
Oh, okay.
And I have zero recollection of that one. I have all the memory of the world, the Letterman jacket game. The Rosencopter, whatever. Like, that was one play, you know, although they lost the game. But the number one one's a good one. The text line, I was in center field 100 for that Rosencopter game. What a flex. He said I kept yelling at Jim Sorgi. I bet you Jim Sorgi's been yelled at a lot in his life. Hail Mary batted to the other team in the end zone to lose the game.
Yeah, that was the David Garrard game. That was number five on the list.
The first one you said, yeah.
Yeah.
2021 to the Bills, 61-7. Come on, easy. That's number one. See, I don't really have recollection of that game either.
61-7, what?
He said that was the score to the Bills in 2021.
They didn't lose 61-7 to the Bills.
Let's see.
They've never given up 60.
In what year?
It was 40-0. 40-0, October 3rd, 2021.
Yeah, but that was also during the...
They won three
that
years.
Was, four, yeah, that was year one of... that was the only
yeah,
year
Yeah, it was
color?
Year one of the tank. Like, we didn't care about games then.
No, you're right.
It had no meaning.
No, but, you're right.
That
you're
game right. was quarterbacked by Tyrod?
No, it was.
Oh, no, that was Davis.
You want to guess Davis' stat line that game?
Not good, I'm guessing.
11 for 21, 87 yards, no touchdowns, and four picks.
Jeez.
87 yards in a full game?
I hope you had the Bills' defense
Ooh,
that
gosh.
Night. You want to guess who the leading rusher in that game was for the Texans?
Oh, God.
I pulled it up, so I don't know the answer.
Is it David Johnson?
No.
He was second. Five carries, 21 yards. He was second, too?
Think Heisman.
Oh, wait. Heisman?
Yeah.
Not Ron Dane.
No,
Ron Dane had been long retired.
Definitely not. His time with the Texans was brief.
I'm drawing a complete blank.
Think famous Heisman photos.
Is he on the
Alabama?
Is he on the Big Noon Kickoff still?
Mark Ingram, yes, he is.
Oh, Mark Ingram was the leading rusher.
Mark Ingram was the leading rusher.
I forgot he was a Houston Texan.
You want to guess who the leading receiver was?
2020.
This one should be obvious.
Brandon Cooks.
Oh yeah, Cooks.
Yeah,
right?
Cooks 5 catches, 47 yards. You want to guess the leading tackler yards. In that game?
Is that Cunningham?
I don't think you'll ever get it. No, Cunningham wasn't on that team, I don't think.
Was that before him?
No, Cunningham went to the Titans. I think he's at the Titans at the time.
I think Cunningham might have been cut that year, actually, now that I think about it. But he didn't play in this game.
Not Bernard like McKinney, right? Yeah.
No, it wasn't McKinney. McKinney was gone that offseason, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was the same year. I think McKinney went in the offseason. Cunningham was cut like mid-year because like he didn't go to a meeting or something. Or he was late to a meeting. And they were building culture. Leading tackler in that game was Desmond King. He had 9. Lonnie Johnson was second. He had 8. Christian Kirksey, Camus, Gruger Hill, and Tavier Thomas had 7 apiece.
Oh, rough times.
What a bad time it was to be a
one fish,
fan.
Two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Jack Easter,
oh,
bang.
Jackie boy.
Shout out to the fish. Anytime somebody says shout out, I always say to
shout
the
out
fish.
To the fish.
Every single time somebody says shout out.
How no. many people
to the fish.
Do you interact
shout out
with
to the fish?
I'd say it to myself.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
hang out with people. No, it was like when people are like shout out, I always go to the fish, like in my head, like in an internal dialogue with myself. And I hate that I do it. It's my least favorite thing about me. I don't know, listed a lot of things.
We start
maybe that's the next
broadcast.
Power ranking.
Can we get some broadcast mentions?
Shout out to the fish?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Just drop it in there.
No, I'm not doing that.
Can you work that into a call?
No, I'm not doing
the
that.
The Cougs playing any teams with
like
the fish mascot
I don't like
this
to
year?
Personalize my call. It's disrespectful.
What about as a sideline reporter?
No, I don't like. I don't like. It's not about me. I don't like doing that stuff. I think it's disrespectful. I'm being genuine right now. I'm being sincere. I don't. It's not about the person calling the game. Like I, that's something that I'm pretty strict about.
You used to do a.
I'm pretty strict about that.
Didn't you used to do a word of the match?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
We used to give you obscure words.
It's a little different than like.
Yeah, because like everyone at the Dynamo was kind of in on the bit, right?
Yeah, and, that's a good point. But I think it's like still
everyone,
different.
Yeah, and everyone was in on it, so I guess where...
The Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan home opener was rough, says
yeah,
Oso.
That's a good one.
Ravens
that's
embarrassing us Christmas last year.
That was honestly... Ruined Christmas.
That's probably six.
Ruined Christmas?
Ruined Christmas.
That's probably six on my list.
I think you care a little bit too much about the good old Texans. If it ruined Christmas?
No. Fiance was good you know, that
you
night.
Know what the problem was?
Laramie got her autograph.
Yeah.
I had to come to work the next day and had to talk about him. I didn't want to do that.
You should have ruined your 26th then.
Yeah, but I had to watch
Are you looking
Christmas.
Across the table? Was Branham the reason you were in?
Yes.
I was the reason?
Didn't we work the next day?
I don't know. I was off.
Well, maybe I was here with someone else.
I remember
having to watch.
No, because I don't think I was in town.
I think that was 2 years ago for Christmas. But yeah, I just didn't want to watch the game on Christmas.
Okay.
It was wasting my time.
Fair enough. All right, 713-780-3776. Sunshine at Twitch, part of the junkies. Least favorite thing about J-Bone Go. That's a long list. We don't have enough time
left
in the show.
Maybe that's my power ranking next week.
Least favorite things about me. That would be funny. All right, car wreck of the day. 713-780-3776. What is your car wreck of the day? Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Oh, it's new.
Yeah, we got
haven't
it.
Had that in a while.
Michael Carroll's the best.
He is the best. What are you going to watch on TV tonight?
I mean, Bills Jets.
They don't play the Jets, Brian.
Bills Dolphins.
Car wreck of the day.
I think at least my second one, my melatonin thing earlier was not great.
We've all had a couple today.
Yeah.
I think it's just, we all will be.
Joe's so math.
Yeah.
Joe's
Jeremy's
math earlier.
Got four things for
Oh, you both had a math problem.
Yeah, mine was more complicated math, though.
Yeah, Joe's just wildly
I was just
crazy.
I was guessing salary cap.
His wasn't so much math. His was just a bad figure.
Bad information in my brain.
A texture in response to Brian saying he was off on the 26th. Brian, quote, I was off. Texture says, we know. Did you take off a lot, Brian? That's what...
I get the joke.
That's what the junkie is suggesting. What about the freaking Chiefs playoffs loss? It was regular season.
Yeah, it was late. Regular season.
Junkie.
Listening.
All right, car wreck of the day, Joe. What you got?
I think I have to nominate this texter who said the Texans lost 61-7 to the Bills. The most points the Texans have ever given up in franchise history is 49 points. That was in 2004. To the Colts. Yeah. They lost to the Bills 40-0. It is the biggest blowout in franchise history. But it was not 61-7.
I think he just knew it was a huge number and just threw out an arbitrary number.
Yeah, I want to believe he exaggerated for comedic effect.
I think so.
It came off originally, though, like he was just wildly off. But in hindsight, I think he was exaggerating.
I don't even know
purpose.
It was like comedic effect. I think he was one of those, I know he got hammered at 61-7, you know?
Yeah, maybe so.
Did miss by a lot, though.
Yeah.
That's three touchdowns.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
It's quite a large miss.
Yeah. It's a pretty big miss. There was an MMA fighter that was making his boxing debut recently. I have no idea these names. It's like a lower-level promotion. But an MMA fighter was losing during his boxing debut. He was getting hammered, getting beat bad. He went to a head kick against his opponent, you know, with the boxing gloves on, of course. But he went with the head kick, knocked his opponent out. By far the best head kick of his life, and he lost by DQ.
Why?
It's boxing.
Oh,
what do you mean?
Because the boxer never saw it coming.
He was getting beat and resorted back to his MMA ways. Gave him a little head kick to the temple. I mean, it was effective. It was an effective head kick.
It worked.
Dude plummeted
More
into the ground head
try
first.
That.
Into the mat head first.
More people should try that.
I mean, it's an automatic DQ.
I mean, Canelo. I mean, I think he could have gone there in the 12th round. He wasn't going to win that fight.
Oh, it's just like
it was close. The judges had it even through 10.
The judges. I
actually had it. I had it as a draw. I was pretty close. Two judges.
Branham doesn't know glove.
What do you mean? Two judges had it 115, 113.
Yeah, but I don't think
Yeah, as in a Crawford win still.
Right, but I was only off by one round.
Yes, but I think the right side was clearly Crawford.
I do, too.
Okay.
I do, too. But you know how judging goes. Yeah, a lot of times they're
round
like,
by round.
Who's controlling the ring? Yeah. Who's pressing forward? Like, all that stupid stuff. I think Crawford's a better fighter.
I don't know if I want to be on the side of boxing judges, though.
That's fair. but the boxing judges judge things that the public doesn't realize.
No, for sure.
Brian would know. He's a former judge.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to judge something with nothing happening.
Yeah.
You have to talk about who's going forward, like who's cutting off the ring more, who's the aggressor.
And Canelo was early.
Not that he was better. I agree. Like, Crawford looked more skilled, but I gave the first two rounds to Canelo just because he was the one coming forward and nothing was happening.
I had the first four rounds 2-2, and that little, like, ringside judge had it 4-0.
Yeah, I ended up with the same scores, the ringside judge on TV, but I too was like, I was weirded out, or I was surprised he had a 4-0 Crawford after four.
If you just graded the fight for the 36 minutes of the fight, Crawford won.
Yeah.
Crawford was the better fighter without a
but
shadow.
But it's round
doubt.
By round.
But the round by round, there was a lot of rounds where it's like, I don't know which way to go. Canelo's controlling the ring. He's on the front foot. He's cutting off the angle. Whatever. We're not going to watch boxing again for another 3 years.
Yep.
Brian, what's your car wreck of the day?
My car wreck of the day nominee is a caller who called in earlier. All due respect to a member of the junkyard, but he had a little bit of a flub here.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Steve, you're in the junkyard. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, so Mike, I'm a first-time listener. I listen to you guys all the time.
First-time listener. He listens to us all the time.
Nick caller.
Who was that? Was it Steve?
Steve, yeah.
Steve, don't be a stranger. Don't let these guys deter you. These guys are mean and bullies. And
these guys. I didn't play the clip.
I think
I'll raise my hand for that one. Bully. I think in part, like, I hate when people say first time, you know, long time listener, first time caller. Somebody said it and then flubbed it. It made it kind of funny.
I didn't even catch it at first. I saw somebody in the.
You didn't?
I saw somebody in the Twitch, one of the junkies.
Oh, I heard it right away. I left.
I didn't. I saw you chuckle. I was like, he must have said something funny there, but I didn't catch it. All right, what's the text line has a couple. AV nominated me for leaving the chat early. My bad. Josh from Seabrook, the Astros, if they don't take 2 of 3.
That's preemptive.
Carwreck is my fantasy team name. Shout out to the Fish because I have Dolphins players.
That's great.
That's actually pretty good.
Sorry, Steve.
Steve has a vote on the text line from one of the junkies. Josh had more, actually. No, Josh had that. Those are the two. All right, what's winning here?
Steve.
You vote Steve?
Yeah, I vote Steve.
Yeah, Steve's a good one. I mean, it's Steve's first ever time to call in to Jeremy and Joe.
Yep.
We need to give him a little bit of razzin.
Maybe it's just you.
A little bit of razzin.
He's so uncomfortable with the name still.
Who, me?
Yeah.
It's weird having our names in the show to me, I think. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Hall of Fame, Booker T, second best wrestler in Houston history, and Brad Gilmore and Swarmcast coming up next on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, so Mike, I'm a first-time listener. I listen to you guys all the time.
ESPN 97.5.